O give thanks to the Lord, said the psalmist, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Welcome to morning worship at Cramond Kirk on Sunday the 25th of October. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us pray. Living and loving God, teach us to be faithful in change and uncertainty, and to trust your promises. Fill our hearts with gratitude, renew in us your gift of hope, for your steadfast love never ceases, and your mercies never come to an end, through our Saviour Christ. Amen. Thankfulness, an expression of gratitude, an acknowledgement that someone has been kind or helpful to you. A way of expressing your appreciation. On my last Sunday as the minister of Cramond Kirk, whatever else I want to say thank you. Thank you for the privilege of having been your minister since 1993. Thank you for all the love, help, friendship and support you've given Margaret and our family over these years. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your forbearance, for putting up with my far too many mistakes and faults. Thank you for encouraging me to undertake further study at Princeton. Thank you for the love and prayers that carried the pair of us through my year as moderator of the General Assembly. And thank you for the privilege of letting us live and bring up our family in this beautiful manse. Thank you, it seems such an inadequate word. And perhaps like the man who returned to Jesus having been healed of his leprosy, it doesn't get close to summing up the depth of feeling. But what other word is there? Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem when they come across a leper colony. With no treatment or cure, detailed regulations meant the victims of leprosy had to self-isolate and so protect the health and well-being of the wider community. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Social distancing, biblical style. Had the group heard of the wandering preacher and healer from Nazareth? Did they know he was due to pass their way that day? Whatever, as he came to the village, the men called out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." So let's hear the story. Our reader this morning is my friend and colleague and number one moderator's chaplain, Moira MacDonald. And Moira is going to be the interim moderator during the vacancy.
Our reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well."
Thank you, Moira. Did you notice it's only as the story unfolds that we learn about the racial mix of the group, Jew and Samaritan? Evidently, leprosy had torn down the barriers that would otherwise have divided them. In extreme adversity, they were simply men in need. And Jesus never walked past on the other side of human need. Notice too, there's no small talk, no gentle word of inquiry asking how the men are, how they're coping. He doesn't ask them to prove themselves worthy of his help. He just shouts back and tells them to go and show themselves to the priests. Now, Jesus would know that the men would know that according to their ancient law, only a priest could certify someone well again. And if someone was well, it meant they could resume normal family and community life. So there was only one purpose in going to find a priest. And there was only one place where the men could find a priest, the temple in Jerusalem. The tension mounts because now it's not only Jesus who's on his way to Jerusalem, the men are too. And on the way, they're made clean. Now, if the story had ended at that point, it would have been enough. Another remarkable example of the healing power and compassion of Christ. But the story doesn't end there. It takes an unexpected twist. One of them, the Samaritan, comes back to say, "Thank you." Do you suppose the other nine were any less grateful? It's not hard to imagine that having found a priest at the temple, the other nine were desperate to get home, back to their families. And that's just the point. The Samaritan was also restored to health, and he too would have been desperate to get back home and see his family. Yet, for a moment, he wanted to seek out the one who had healed him. Here's the heart of the story. As much as saying thank you, the man also wants to acknowledge that in Christ he's found the true source of healing and wholeness. "Rise and go," Jesus tells him, and the language is the language of resurrection, for this man was dead and now he's alive again. And soon in Jerusalem, the one who healed him will die. But the story won't end there either, will it? And just because I'm retiring, neither does the story of Cramond Kirk end today. During my ministry, I've had the opportunity to serve the church at home and abroad, meeting some of the world's most privileged people, meeting some of the world's least privileged people. Best of all has been the pastoral privilege of being with people through some of the best and some of the very worst times of life. The privilege of praying with you and of praying for you, supporting you as best I could with the hope and promise of the gospel, the healing grace and power of God's love in Christ. Gratitude? Yes, of course. There is gratitude, overwhelming gratitude for the privilege that has been mine. Yet there's much more besides. For as the story of Jesus and the leper makes clear, what is being described here is the continuing journey of faith and life. The journey from brokenness to wholeness, from exclusion to intimacy, from sickness to health, from abandonment to belonging, from rumours that reach scarred ears to the gracious words we long to hear, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole." So thank you. Thank you for all the congregation of Cramond Kirk. Thank you for all this community means and will always mean to Margaret and me. Be assured, God has much more planned for Cramond Kirk, including a new minister. Meanwhile, in the words of the old Gaelic blessing, farewell. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. Let us pray.
God of this new day, you call us to worship and promise that in your presence a welcome awaits and each one is known and loved.
God of this moment, you call us to pause, to listen, to reflect, to think about life's meaning, its purpose and its end.
Gladly we thank you for the gifts you have given and for the gifts you continue to give, for the many ways our lives are blessed with home and family, love and friendship, work and hobbies and interests, faith and hope.
We thank you for the gifts of your Spirit hidden in the depths of the human soul, and for hope that comes unbidden, your comfort to enfold us through days of sorrow, your strength to sustain us during times of trouble, your light shining unexpectedly when all is dark.
Forgive us if we have failed to let your grace and love be always evident in the things we say and do.
Forgive us if we have been anxious about what we have not and failed to appreciate all we have.
Forgive our failing to respect the integrity of creation and to cherish what you created to be good.
Assure us once more of your mercy, and so restore our relationship with you and with one another, that our lives might truly reflect the life of your kingdom.
Living and loving God, we pray for the Church of Scotland and for our partner churches the world over, especially in those places where people are persecuted for their faith. We pray for Crammond Kirk, giving thanks for Russell's ministry and asking the blessing of good health and strength for Margaret and Russell as they retire to St Andrews. Placing our trust in your purpose of love, hear our prayer for the Kirk session and congregation. Show us the path where hope lies, and help us to be responsive to the prompting of your Spirit as we continue to worship and reach out to the people of this community.
As Brexit debates continue in Westminster and Brussels, watch over the life of our nation. Show us the path where understanding and respect lie, that a good and fair outcome be agreed, trust restored, and the wounds of our people healed.
As disease spreads and restrictions are tightened, hear our prayer for all who are sick, especially people infected by COVID-19. Show us the path where compassion lies, and hold all who are ill and all who are feeling anxious and lonely in your healing presence and power.
God of time, God of eternity, you remain the same, constant in your care and your concern for us and for all creation. In all the changing circumstances of life, show us the path where faithfulness lies. Bless to us our communion with the saints, and strengthen our faith that nothing in life or death can ever separate us from your love in Christ our Lord. And in his name we are glad to pray together our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Go now in the love and in the peace of Christ our Lord. May the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with you this day and evermore. Amen.